I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Siddha Buddha, Siddha Dharma, Siddha Sangha. There is what amounts almost to a secret gateway to the deeper precepts. Secret not because anyone's deliberately hiding it, but because to recognize that gateway one has to be able to recognize at least some kind of deep intuitive level how much we damage ourselves when we involve ourselves in any form of action, thought, speech or body that can be described in River Master's very accurate words as un-Buddhist even if true. To understand why this is so very important, we have to consider the deeper nature of the precepts, what the precepts are pointing to. Buddhism is a non-dualistic religion. That means it does not see the universe in terms of a war between good and evil. Instead, the teachings of the Buddhas is that the true nature of all things is immaculate and void of self, having no preference, bias, like or dislike, making no judgments of good and bad, in other words, it is the very perfection of love and generosity. If this is the true nature of all things, if we're all one within this reality, then surely we only hurt ourselves if we start carving up this oneness in our minds and in our hearts. And viewing some of it as lesser and worthy of scorn, derision, contempt. Disdain. Belittlement. read Dogen's commentary on the precepts, we see that with every precept, he takes it back to this. Don't make clouds in a clear sky. Don't blind yourself to the original immaculacy. Now it is pretty evident to most of us that if we involve ourselves in activities such as murder, theft, rape, slander, if we indulge in hatred, if we do these kinds of things that we hurt ourselves and we hurt others, it can be a lot less obvious that we can dwell on thoughts that have an element and a strong element of truth, and we can say things that are true, and at the same time we can be hurting ourselves in the same fundamental way as we do with any breakage of the precepts, whether it be a seemingly great one or a seemingly little one. And watch out for those judgments of great and little, by the way. It's often the seemingly little things that we end up regretting for many years. The things where we knew better and we did it anyway. Because we convinced ourselves it didn't matter. So how can it be that I can have a thought that is true and still be breaking the spirit of the precepts? Well, suppose I'm watching television and a particularly vapid and mindless commercial comes on. And I say to myself, how vapid and mindless. Or how stupid. Or what must these people think of us all? So on and so forth. What if someone hurts someone I love? And I think, that idiot. Or, be a little more subtle, what if someone hurts someone I love and I sit and analyze why they did it? All these things may have these thoughts may have a strong element of truth. Yet note that while I am occupied with that whole way of viewing things, I am missing the bigger picture. There is nothing from the first. These things are not evil They're empty. They're unreal. The true reality is original immaculacy. This is how something can be a thought, something that we say, or an action, a body, can be un-Buddhist even if true. Un-Buddhist because not true to the real spirit of the precepts, not true to the Buddha nature itself, not recognizing the Buddha nature within conditions that are arising and passing, circumstances that are arising and passing. As I said in my talk yesterday, we have had a kind of brainwashing in being analytical. And it's very easy for us to, many of us, to indulge in analyzing other people's motives and analyzing our own motives for what we do. We can occupy ourselves with matters that really aren't our business. In our mind, if not in our body, or not with our body, we can try to do another's training. And in all such activities, we blind ourselves to original immaculacy. Since there is nothing from the first, since all these external things and concerns are unrealities, where can the dust alight? Because dust has no reality itself. Or as Dogen cautions us, do not make clouds in a clear sky. This is why the precept, do not speak against others, at a deeper level has to be understood in terms of do not speak about others. And if you apply it to thought as well, do not think against others. Do not worry about others. It is enough to do our own training, to let others do their training, to trust our training, and to trust the training of others, even when that training gets rather wild and manifests in very troubling ways. And in the end, we will have precisely the same sympathy and compassion for the humanity of ourselves as we exercise in our thought, in our speech, with our body in relationship to others. We will be able to see the Buddha nature within ourselves precisely to the extent to which we're able to see it in others. The concern that people have sometimes voiced about this approach to things, this approach to the precepts, is it would make you some kind of passive moral being. And that's simply not true. First of all, to train in this way is really hard spiritual work. And secondly, doesn't make you blind to the things you need to be aware of. It doesn't prevent you from seeing what you need to see in order to look after yourself, in order to fulfill your responsibilities with regard to yourself and with regard to others. Does not make you some kind of idiot wandering around in the all is one or all is different, but stuck in the all is one. It just makes us very careful because we have got to the point in our training that we recognize that we can muddy our own water that we can blind ourselves to the great immaculacy. This is the deeper meaning of the precepts. And it also is a rock-solid explanation of why it is so vitally important to always keep our focus on our own training. We cannot do the training of others. Yes, we all have the Buddha nature, we are all one in the Buddha nature, and, not or, but and, we all walk our own path, we all make our own karma. Each man his karma makes and must carry for himself. There's only one person that I can train, and that's me. Even as a teacher, I can only point the way. I can't do more than that. I can't do the training for another person. Therefore, fundamentally, what others do, the way others live their lives, is not my business. I do not need to worry about other people. I do not need to analyze other people. I do not need to fret about other people. I can trust that as I live my life in the hand of the Eternal, so do all other beings. Doesn't mean that I can't offer help when it's good to offer help. Doesn't mean that I can't accept help from others when it's good to accept help. Again, this is an and, not an or. One can offer help when it's good to offer help. One can accept help when it's good to accept help. And each of us does our own training. Each of us is responsible for our own action. A priest who cannot remember this, cannot keep this in mind, runs a very great danger of subsiding into a kind of a gluey soup of spiritual confusion. It is the most natural thing in the world to want to offer help. And it is always good to pause for a moment. check with one's own heart. Is this good? And if it is good, what is a good way to go about it? What is the alternative? The impulsive jumping in with mind or in speech or in bodily action to something that is not our business. It is not fundamentally our problem. Well, the obvious alternative, as another rock-solid starting point, is just to sit still. Not to go down the road of like, dislike, praise or blame, grasping or pushing away, but just to sit still within one's own heart, within one's own hara, and see from that place what is it, if anything, that is further good to do. In my experience, many, many times I've found myself thinking or saying or doing something that is un-Buddhist even if true, because I would not at that moment sit still instead. If I had to go impulsively do something else, one might say, and just be still. Just accept. Out of willful impulsiveness, we blind ourselves. And when we see something of the karmic history, of our karmic history, or inheritance from past lives, we can see some areas in which people willfully, impulsively did acts that were often just mental, but then set the wheel of suffering rolling for lifetimes. This level of the precepts really requires us to study in detail, as great Master Dogen said. Well, as the great Master Dogen's master, Tendo Nyojo, said, study in detail. Do not think it is easy. To study Buddhism is to study the self. Why do we study the self? Precisely because of this, if we do not come to recognize the areas and the ways in which we break the spirit of the precepts, then with the very best of intentions, we continually blind ourselves. There is no substitute in human life for the choice to sit still within one's own heart and allow that which is unreal, and transitory, and superficial to simply dissolve away. In so doing, we root ourselves in the great immaculacy, and we hold fast to the Lord of the house.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds.